episode 28.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
Okay. You thought I'd disappeared from the cyber airways for good, huh? Well, hardly. As a matter of fact, I've been gone for a time because I've been busy creating something very special for serious hockey folks, and because I also wanted to make some major changes to this show's format. I know you're gonna love it. So, let's see. I have my usual Diet Cola ready. Still thanks to Mike and Chris. Everything else seems all set here. A little hard candy for my throat, thanks to Jim and Dan. So, let's get on with a new kind of show. The first order of business is to tell you that the all-new CoachChick.com site is up and running, and it's already shaping up to be the most comprehensive hockey information site in the entire world. I mean that. It's got something like 14 or 15 subject areas, ranging from how to develop highlight reel skills to how to play the game smartly. And coming next month, there'll also be a special section for goaltenders and another on the mental side of our game. By the way, the new CoachChick.com is aimed at helping hockey parents help their kids behind the scenes. I share a lot of ideas with other coaches, and then I'm discovering that the new site is becoming pretty popular with adult hockey players. Better yet, in just our first month together, I'm finding that member questions are already steering my creation of new content. As for the format here, at My Hockey Secrets, part of the inspiration comes from a coach down in the Austin, Texas area. My friend Chris wrote me recently and said that he missed listening to my show as he drove around town. I do that too, you know. Actually joking to friends that I drive an expensive MP3 player. Anyway, it dawned on me that Chris is a CoachChick.com member, and that led me to thinking that it would be awesome for him and other members to have an audio recording to go along with all the written and video content, or sort of as a condensed audio recap of the month's highlight entries. So, I'd say the new format here is going to really add value for my members. Yet, you don't have to be a paying member at CoachChick.com to reap the benefits of this show, because I'll share tons of free information with you as well. Now, I just mentioned about listening to MP3s as I drive, and I also wear a small headset as I putter around the office or in my yard back home, and as I take strolls around town. I might try to listen to something intently, but I also find that new ideas pop into my mind as I listen. Interestingly, I heard one radio guy recently refer to audio as the theater of the mind. In other words, while we listen to the information, our minds create the pictures. Anyway, let's give that a try as I now recap just a few of this month's CoachChick.com highlights. To begin, there were two important entries under timely advice. Number one, I advise everyone in hockey to evaluate hockey problems right now. Referring back to a column I wrote just recently for Hockey USA, my suggestion is that a parent, coach, or older player do an accounting of where they are as the current season winds down, and then set a course over the coming off-season months to be where they'd really like to be next fall. I also suggest arriving at a very short list of objectives. You know, the most gains can be achieved by focusing on the greatest deficiency. In phys ed jargon, we call it the grossest problem. And once we've lopped that off our checklist, we can move on to the next grossest, the next, and the next. As a hockey parent, you might take some notes at your youngster's last few practices and games. That's how I do it, to arrive at a pretty good list of needs for my grandson. Those shortcomings might be skill-related, but they might also involve physical qualities, such as speed, strength, agility, conditioning, and so on. As hockey coaches, we wear several hats. The first one involves rethinking our playing system, top to bottom. A little later in the spring, I'll tell you more about how to do that. And secondly, because we're in charge of our players' overall development, we have to do a general accounting of our kids' skills and physical qualities, just like I suggested the parents do. By the way, whenever I do an evaluation of one player, it always seems that the work I'm planning will benefit numerous other kids, too. Then, right now, is the time to list the various administrative problems you've had over the past season or over many past seasons. A lot of times these have to do with parent problems, and I've found that addressing them far in advance of their actually happening, like at a preseason meeting, we can avoid having them sound personal when infractions arrive later in the year. So get on that stuff now. Make a list of how things need to be next fall and consider over the coming months how you might best introduce them. As far as an adult player, your game should be all about fun. And personally, I think greatly improved skills will bring the most fun next season. Finally, I plan on arming my members and even Hockey Secrets listeners with tons of great off-season advice. Again, though, that stuff isn't going to benefit you half as much unless you have a personal plan in place. One of the things I learned from my long-ago studies in the old Soviet Union was their unique approach to a year-round hockey training plan. Basically, the Russians divided a 12-month period into four special segments. The in-season obviously represents a team's or an individual's regular season, and there's probably little that needs to be said about that right now. The postseason is that time immediately following the regular season. In other words, while players get pretty physically and even mentally beat up over the course of a long hockey season, and they do need an immediate break, USSR coaches didn't want their players to go backwards too much in their physical development. With that, they engaged in all sorts of fun yet challenging activities, including slightly adapted games of soccer and basketball. The off-season comes next, with players often working as individuals and based on individual needs in areas that might include hockey skill work as well as strength, speed, and quickness training. The preseason should sound familiar, is that part of the year when players start coming together as a team and gearing up for the next coming in-season. Now, I think it's important to use some common sense when applying such knowledge on this side of the pond. After all, those of us in charge have to realize that most amateur hockey players have numerous other commitments, including but not limited to school and homework, family obligations, perhaps a job, and a healthy social life. Nor do I see the need to have set dates for either of the four segments. So I'll design a lot of workouts that overlap, or actually span several out-of-season segments. Oh, and as longtime listeners should know, I'm not big on spring or summer hockey games. Under general skills, I probably panicked some hockey parents with my video about the critical periods in motor learning. Yes, as we explored the science of motor learning in part one, we discovered that some of the skills necessary to later physical successes are going to be based on a young human's acquiring certain prerequisite skills very early. Perhaps the most important and the scariest part in that video was the idea that the brain and all the signaling devices to the muscles have to be constructed early on. Take heart though, I'll have some better news when part two hits the website near the end of this month. As we ready for the postseason, our beginner, intermediate, and advanced skill sections kicked off a program to give everyone incredible stick handling abilities by next fall. The introduction video covered some very important information about preparing for the drills that will follow. Mainly, good puck handlers almost always use the shortest and lightest sticks. Hey, the easier the stick is to handle, the easier it is to develop quick hands. So can gloves and the padding that comes into play in these movements either help or hinder quick or smooth actions. And there's no arguing with the sciences when it comes to this stuff. As always, this old coach espouses a slow, patient approach to the drills being provided. So I'm suggesting that every player, beginner to advanced, take the exercises as I present them. Work to master the very basic ones, and I promise you'll ultimately be able to do the really wild ones. Under Thinking the Game, found in the general positional advice section, I described turning points in a hockey game. My thinking is that most games have at least one moment in which momentum swings drastically from one team's favor to the other. Then, pointing to just how great it is to have really intuit members at CoachChick.com, Todd J. posted a comment whereby he suggests possibly using our timeouts earlier in games. In other words, while most coaches save them to make plans near the end of a close game, Todd said that he more often calls timeouts earlier in games, at times when he senses one of those critical turning points. And, want to know something? Since reading Todd's thoughts, I've started looking at my games differently and at the use of my timeouts in exactly the same way. So, thanks, buddy. That was an awesome tip. Well, that's it for this show. Just these quick reminders. Non-members have free access to some of the content offered over at CoachChick.com, and I promise to frequently change it. So, go on over and take a look. And if you're interested in being a member, and having full access to everything. Chatter memberships, while they last, are only $5.95 per month. Well, I'll see you all next month for another recap on the best hockey training information in the world.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.